In what might be the most politically contentious event in, gosh, several hours, President Donald Trump appears before Congress this evening. For a preview, we turn to Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, before we get to that, there's a few other things reported this week that I think are significant for federal agencies, including the Review Act to kill the rules that have been put in place by the prior administration. Tell us about the Rules Act and what's going on there.
So, yeah, right, it's called the Congressional Review Act. This is actually a law that was enacted 20 years ago as a part of the Contract with America, the famous manifesto that got the House Republicans back in power for the first time in 40 years, back in 1995-96. It's only been used once successfully before now. And what it says is that rules put in place by an administration can be essentially repealed by a simple vote of the Congress. In other words, no Senate filibuster, just 51 senators and 218 House members can vote to undo any rule that's if they act within 60 days. Now, this doesn't work often because we haven't had a political dynamic in which an administration of one party was trying to get a bunch of rules done before it left office, and the new Congress was of a totally different party and united of a different party. So the political stars have aligned here to kind of bring this law out of mothballs. The House, I believe, has already used this law to move to repeal 8 different rules that the Obama administration did on the way out the door, and the Senate has gone along and agreed with 2 of them. And sent those to President Trump, who has signed them. And they're the first couple of things he signed this year. One was a banking rule about transparency in the banking business that was making energy companies mad because their transactions with foreign governments were being made more transparent. And another one was an environmental rule. So now there's still a long list of these to go. The only challenge is that there's, as I say, Congress has to act really within 2 months. So the clock is ticking.
Now, there's any indication yet that we have, or do we have any indication that it would be used on against, say, the some of the EPA big plans that were put in place on water and air by the Obama administration?
My understanding is that most of those were done, you know, not quite in the last days of the Obama administration. The really big ones were done earlier in the administration, so not quite in those final days. So the 60-day clock has already run, and Congress has lost its opportunity to revisit those.
So that would be something that would have to be an initiative in policy of the EPA itself.
That's right. Another thing, this CRA thing is going to be with us, you know, for a few more weeks, and it's going to be interesting to see just how broadly the Republican Congress uses this. It's got another trigger mechanism in it that's really pretty powerful, because you might say if you're at an agency, well, that's okay, they can repeal this rule, and then we'll just write it again. But no, the law actually is quite explicit in saying, if Congress repeals a rule, agencies are forever forbidden, forever, from writing a rule that is substantially the same as the one that just got repealed. So that's probably going to end up in court someday, is what does the meaning of substantially mean?
But in the meantime, this coffin has nails.
This coffin has some serious nails. And you may wonder why, as I say, why hasn't it been used before in the last 20 years? And the answer is that there just has never been a situation except one time. At the end of the Clinton administration, Clinton did ergonomics rules, workplace ergonomics rules. The new Republican Congress came in right after George Bush was president, new Republican Congress, and they repealed them.
We're speaking with senior editor David Hawkins of Roll Call. And let's turn now to the event tonight wherein the president goes before Congress. And do you expect to see the kinds of walkouts or booing or boycotts? Or how contentious, first of all, will this likely to be?
Well, you know, as of our speaking right now, there has been, we've all been in the press corps and the congressional press corps sort of looking for evidence from the Democrats that they're going to protest or going to behave similarly to the way they did around the inauguration, which was that a lot of them decided to stay away. And we haven't heard any of that. So as you and I are talking right now, it seems as though the Democrats are going to play it straight. They're going to come to the speech. It will almost certainly be one of those traditional presidential addresses where the lawmakers of the president's party are super enthusiastic, and the lawmakers opposed will sit on their hands through much, if not all of it. It will be fascinating to see what kind of a reception President Trump gets when he walks down the aisle for the first time, when he walks down that center aisle of the House chamber. Usually the custom is that is when lawmakers of both parties give the president a relatively warm and sustained standing ovation out of respect for the office. There are many Democrats who were already sort of trepidatious about doing such a thing, and a couple of Republicans, too, who are sort of outright skeptical of this president. So that will be fascinating to see. It's not really a state of the it's not called a State of the Union for trivia buffs at home. The notion is that no president after a month in office is really qualified to give a report on the full State of the Union. So this is just called a presidential address. But in every other way, it looks like a State of the Union address.
But we won't see, say, Senator Warren from Massachusetts or Senator McCain from Arizona crowding the door to be able to be seen and shaking hands as the president makes his way through that little gaggle of people that always crowds the door.
No, we won't. It will be fascinating to see. Usually, there are some notorious members who love nothing better than to sit on those aisle seats for hours in advance so they can get their moment on national TV. Most of them are Democrats: Sheila Jackson Lee of Dallas, Elliot Engel of the Bronx, two notorious seat hogs, because they want those moments on TV. We'll see if they're there tonight.
This speech, of course, we don't really know what's going to be said, but I think that when the inauguration speech occurred, a lot of eyebrows ended up on the top of a lot of bald heads because it was very unconventional. So
that is true. It was not a conventional inaugural speech. It was pretty dark. The White House has sent signals that this is going to be not dark, that it's going to be uplifting, and it's going to be a more optimistic view of what the president can do and what the country can be all about. But the president, as we know, the president doesn't like teleprompters, hasn't been fond of teleprompters in the campaign. It comes off much more sort of formulaic and stilted when he uses a teleprompter. So I think it's definitely be fascinating to watch when his eyes look up from those glass screens and he starts ad-libbing, and if and when he does that.
But it will be a good opportunity, should he choose to do so, to ask Congress to work with him on things that really are half-baked at this point: infrastructure, health care reform, and a lot of other issues.
That's right. So the president has now been in office for more than a month, and he has yet to ask Congress to send him a bill on any of these big things. None of the big, the three big ones that he campaigned on and that the Republicans are eager to work with him on: the tax bill, a tax overhaul, an infrastructure package, which is inevitably aligned with that tax overhaul, because the way to pay for infrastructure, a huge infrastructure package, would be to change the tax code. And then, of course, the so-called repeal and replace of Obamacare, which is, as I think we've all come to understand, much more easily said than done. The Republicans still nowhere truly at a consensus on how the replacement should happen.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. As always, thanks so much. We'll be tuning in tonight, I guess, huh?
Indeed.
Find links to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.